you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 232 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyro, your host once again. Today, my guest is Lauren Sanders. Lauren is the manager of the Office of the CEO at Clio. So as most of you know, Clio is a practice management software platform. And in full disclosure, I am a client of Clio and a proud advocate on their behalf. I think it's a wonderful company, a wonderful product. I switched over to Clio a little over a year ago and have been very happy that I did. Had nothing to do with my previous practice management software. Very happy with them. Still use them for other things. But for my law practice, I use Clio. And I'm just thrilled to have Lauren on the program today because we're going to talk about the upcoming Clio Cloud Conference, which is in October, from October 13th through the 16th. And like a lot of things these days, it's going to be a different experience than it was last year. Last year, I had just one outrageous time in San Diego. This year is going to be a little different. And we're going to talk about how that's different and how they've adapted to what the world currently presents to us, and how you will still get value if you choose to attend, whether or not you're a Clio user or not. And so I'm thrilled to have Lauren on the program. So let's listen to Lauren Sanders. Lauren Sanders, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today, Neil.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Lauren. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I have a bit of a story to get all the way to how I got to Clio, but I am the manager of the Office of the CEO at Clio. And essentially what that means is my team do a split function. We work as executive assistants, empowering and enabling the executive team at Clio. And then we also run down special projects on behalf of our CEO, Jack Newton. And one of those big, audacious, hairy projects is the Clio Cloud Conference. So we are both event planners and we also work collaboratively with the whole company towards our goals.
You know, in the day and age of cute titles on one's business card and truth in advertising, you know, don't you really think your business card should say brains behind the CEO?
I mean, I think I'll let you take that up with Jack, but yeah. I wouldn't object. I think, honestly, he wouldn't object either. He's been an incredible advocate and mentor to me throughout my career at Clio. So I started there in 2012, and when the company was still scrappy and still small, a little bit upstart, but hustling, and been with them for this incredible journey that has been massive success, and watching him evolve and grow as a leader as well, really inspiring. So Jack, if you're hearing this right now, you know, maybe Neil's onto something.
There you go. So let me get ahead of the game here and deal with the obvious that some of our listeners are aware of. I am a Clio user at this point, a Clio client. I haven't always been. In fact, I'm a fairly new client of Clio's, as well as an advocate on behalf of the company, because I feel that strongly about the product. So, and I was lucky enough to go to the Clio conference last year, and I'll be attending this year. And so I wanted to get that out there publicly in the spirit of full disclosure. I will also tell you, though, that when I first started my solo practice, I looked around for project management software, and I knew I wanted to run my software on an Apple Macintosh environment because I'm an Apple fanboy. And at that time, there weren't a lot of opportunities for Apple. There was a couple of startup companies, one called Rocket Matter and another one called Clio, and a company called Daylight. Market Circle. This product was called Daylight. I ended up choosing the latter because Clio and Rocket Matter at that point were talking about this whole new concept of service in the cloud and storing your information somewhere else. And for a lot of attorneys and a lot of techies like me, that was kind of unsettling. And so I went in a different direction, had great success with Market Circle's product Daylight. Love them, still have it, still use it for other things. But there came a time where I decided that Clio offered a better solution for my needs. And so let's just talk a little bit about kind of where Clio is at these days and, you know, what does it provide to solo and small firm practitioners that stands out?
Yeah, well, Clio really is the solution that can help law firms manage all the inputs and outputs that, you know, can really stack up all the administration, all, you know, client intake, really being able to collaborate in this distributed environment that so many of us are working in as well. So I really see Clio as like the backbone, you know, empowering and powering your law firm to be able to allow people that work there, whether they be administrative or an attorney, allow you all to just sit back and focus on what you do best, which is practicing law, and really minimize how much time you're spending trying to track your time, especially, you know, getting bills out at the end of the month. Like, I know that's an incredible headache for many, many law firms and can be much simplified with the assistance of technology. And of course, Clio is in the cloud, it's web-based, and that comes with a ton of advantages for law firms and for people around the world. You know, you can work from anywhere. You, you know, aren't beholden to signing in on into through a data server or anything else that you have to maintain and own on your own. So there's a myriad of reasons I think that a law firm should take Clio on. And, you know, it really depends on, you know, who the individual is and what they need. But we're here to try and solve for where we see people having challenges in their law firm and where they're struggling. And helping people run a better business is essential to be a thriving law practice. And, you know, whether, you know, you are able to, again, focus your attention more on your clients than on actually just the day-to-day grind of getting through what you need to from a business perspective. And we also tried to evolve that product over time, really listening to our customers, listening to their feedback, and looking and seeing where the industry is going and what's needed. And you know, rolling out features like our Clio Payments feature is a really good example where making it easier for your clients to pay their bills and making that a really seamless experience and making it easy for a law firm to just say yes to that. And the onboarding is really straightforward and you can get going pretty quick. And so being able to do those sorts of things, making it an all-in-one solution where we're there as well to kind of help point you in the right direction. Maybe you hadn't considered document automation. Maybe you hadn't considered having a scheduler tool on your website for client intake. You know, those are things that maybe weren't in the world of possibility. And with Clio, you really can take advantage of a whole suite of tools that will just set you on a path to be able to be more successful, I'm hopeful of. And, you know, our goal is to transform the business of law, to practice the law for good. And part of that is really investing in this type of technology because we know that it can be transformative for law firms.
Well, I will tell you that the inflection point for me for making the decision to switch over to Clio was because there were a number of things that I wanted to integrate into my workflow system that I wasn't doing all in one platform. Some because of the platform and some just because I had chosen different ways of doing things with different tools. But I was looking to kind of stitch them all together to create a more comprehensive approach to managing my practice. And when I really got down and looked at it, you know, I had a an account with HelloSign to do document signings, and I looked, well, it's already built into to Clio. And I had an account with LawPay to do allow my clients to pay their bills using the LawPay platform. And lo and behold, there's an integration with Clio. And everywhere I tended to look, you know, I have a calendaring program, and lo and behold, it's integrated with Clio. Mm-hmm. And so what I found is that there, I didn't really have a good reason not to, you know?
Yeah, well, that's been, you know, a huge part of our growth, and our emphasis is recognizing that, you know, we really want Clio to be that hub that everything plugs into. And so again, every individual, every firm is different, you know, in the type of law they practice or in just how they handle and manage their work. And so I think actually that our app directory and platform ecosystem is truly one of the things that absolutely sets us apart as a product, because companies look to us first when they're integrating with a, you know, practice management solution. And we have over 200, you know, other products. So if you need to specialize, if you have a particular desire or, you know, want to be able to do something that's very region or practice area specific that Clio doesn't address, we integrate with them. And there is 100% a fantastic other company that, you know, you can have work holistically with Clio, with members of your firm, with your workflow, and be able to customize and make your solutions, your technology platform, your technology stack work for you. And I am so proud of, you know, the way in which we went on that front. Like, you know, having our application interface, our API open and available for people to build on top of is a huge, huge differentiator for Clio. And, you know, whether or not you're using, you know, the Outlook or Microsoft type tools right through to Fastcase for, you know, your research. And like you said, you know, Clio payments powered by LawPay, or HelloSign, having e-signatures built in, like these are all functionalities and things that can just, again, almost accelerate the kind of work you can do, your reach, your providing potentially an enhanced client experience, making life easier for them to engage with you. There's just so many knock-on benefits. And the app directory in my books is a huge, huge advantage.
Well, and I think some of the inertia that attorneys have to adopting a new platform is, well, I've got too much time and effort built into this legacy system. Mm. What am I going to do? How am I going to convert it? Or how am I going to share data from it? That challenge is dissipating by leaps and bounds as time goes on. And pretty soon the answer will be, you know, darn near everything communicates with each other. So it's a real advantage and something that I think is very useful. I was on a mentoring call with a young woman who's getting ready to start her own solo practice right before this interview. And she was asking me, well, where do you split your time? Where do you advise splitting your time in terms of working on the systems in your practice versus attracting new clients? And so, well, you know, that's a difficult question. But in the end, one of the things that she said was, well, I've already chosen Clio as my practice management platform, and I'm starting to get up to speed with it. And I told her that the more you can do to learn everything you can about the Clio system and all of this component parts, the better your practice is going to run. And it's going to give you more time to go out and get those clients.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And to that end, I directed her to what I think we want to spend some time here talking about.
Yes.
Which is the Clio conference coming up here in October.
Absolutely.
So I was lucky enough, again, to go last year. And it was really a thrill for me personally, because my daughter's an actress up in Hollywood, and she was in a show. We went out to L.A. and to see her on a stage performance, and spent the whole weekend with her as she did this musical. Then we drove to see my son in San Diego, and then I was able to go to the Clio Conference. And lo and behold, it was the World Series and the Washington Nationals were participating while I was there. So it was like a perfect storm alignment for me personally, but I know not everybody's all that interested in that. So, but today's a different day. Today's a different age. We have different challenges that we all face with what's going on in the world. So tell me how the Clio Cloud Conference this year, what are some of there's obviously the big challenge, and how have you responded to that? How is the conference going to be different this year?
Well, the difference is going to be pretty stark insofar as we are going to be assembling remotely all across the world instead of in a luxurious, incredible San Diego hotel. In March, when COVID-19 and the global pandemic really became a true reality for everyone across the world, we really started to sit back and go, okay, what are we doing here? How are we responding? And, it soon became apparent that a in-person event with a couple thousand people in San Diego was just not going to be in the reality, in the cards for this year. And we decided, okay, we have to become experts at running a virtual event. And luckily, again, being a tech company, being a company that has attended a number of virtual events in the past, we're like, we got this. So what people can expect this year is the best approximation that we can get. We really try to focus in on our first principles for the event. We want to make sure this is an event that provides a lot of meaningful value to attendees. We want the sessions and the content to be relevant, to speak to the industry. And we really want to be able to showcase some voices that are from outside of legal that are going to hopefully inspire and, transform how people maybe look at leadership or marketing and other things. So really taking from the lessons that we've had from our live event and pulling them into that virtual event. And then, of course, trying to create some spaces for engagement between attendees and engagement with our team. So we can dig into this more, but the conference is going to be quite different, but hopefully have some of the same flavor.
Well, one of the things that really impressed me last year and looking at the agenda this year as well is, I think we've all been to conferences and we look at the agenda and we think, I'm okay with seeing that. Maybe I might want to listen to a little bit of this. Well, there's nothing in this hour that inspires me. Maybe others, but not me. I will tell you that when I went down the list, last year and again this year, looking at the agenda, I'm overwhelmed with the content, and I don't know where to spend my time.
Well, that has been a challenge at all of our events previously. And I actually think one of the biggest advantages people are going to have in a virtual environment is, and obviously, we all have different demands. We all are living in very different realities in our homes right now. And that content, in a live event, if you don't see it when it's happening, you might miss it. And there can be things happening. We always have lots of things happening at the same time. And I hear constantly how people are like, oh, there's just too much to go see and I can't get to everything. Well, this year, attend what you can, attend when you can, and join us when the live broadcast is happening. But, the next day that content will be available to be able to be watched. So, there will be an on-demand component to the event that I think is really exciting because we are working and living in a different reality right now. And when people came to a live event, and will go in the future, I'm hopeful, you're making a commitment of time and energy. You're potentially flying somewhere, you have spent a fair amount of money on a flight and hotel, as well as whatever price to attend. And for that, I would typically curate top to bottom a full experience where everything from the temperature through to, the lighting, the snacks, the evening events, everything is curated. And now, you know, that part is not possible. I unfortunately don't have quite the magical powers yet to be able to, you know, get the dog, have the dog walker come and walk somebody's dog for them, or prepare their children's lunches, or, you know, whatever else is going on. So to that end, you know, we shortened the days of the event, and drew the event over a longer period of time, knowing that people won't have the ability to dedicate 20 out of 24 hours to coming out and doing conference-related events. And then also, because event conference content will be available on demand within the platform, you know, at least within one day. Some content will get in there real quick, and then, but we'll definitely have everything up by the next day. People can come back, they can revisit, and they can, you know, if there are two things scheduled at the same time, they will be able to, you know, join what they maybe want to see, and then have another one that they kind of earmark for review at a later date. And I think that's going to be a really big advantage, is that ability to kind of split your time, go where you want to go. And the reality that, you know, every single moment of every day, there might not be something that speaks to people, but there's definitely stuff out in the calendar, in the schedule, that is going to transform your practice or really speak to how you want to see the future of law, or a conversation that you'd like to be a part of. And we're cognizant that, you know, and hopeful that people will spend as much time as they can, but also understand the realities that, you know, on demand and being able to still join in when you can is a really important consideration.
Well, my wife, when she looked at the calendar, because we're one of those, you know, geeky families that that schedules the one of the, you know, high definition TV screens as a resource on our calendar.
Awesome.
She wanted to know, I thought this conference was just a couple, 3 days long. How come you've booked the TV screen for a week and a half? And I'm like, because I think I'm going to be watching a lot of the Clio Cloud Conference. It's going to be kind of like, you know, when the new season of Game of Thrones came on, we had to go back, watch every episode leading up to the new season. So I think I'm going to be binge watching Clio for a while.
Well, I hope so. And that content, so another benefit is that for people that register for the event, they'll have access to that content for the following 3 months after the event. So again, like if you watch a presentation, and we would always release video after the fact, but it would have to go through significant edits and, you know, that all that would happen in post-production after the event and take quite a bit of time. That content will be there essentially right away and available to be revisited. You know, so if there's a really impactful, like Erin Levine, if you were just found her words to be incredible, and I have no doubts they will be, she's so interesting, and Hello Divorce has been doing some really industry-changing work in the last couple of years. If what she says resonates, you can come back and watch that again in 3 weeks. You can come back and rewatch it in 2 months after the event and really, you know, reflect back on that content for a longer period of time than maybe was possible with the live event. And, you know, I think like the way we approach the scheduling and, you know, is the reality of, again, that everyone won't be in San Diego, and mindful of time zones, mindful of, you know, wanting to make sure that the content would be most accessible to the most people. So we opted for really about 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time as a start time. And then, of course, any of our international folks, as best possible. I know 24 hours a day is a reality too, but for our folks joining in Europe, you know, being able to join in what would that be their normally their evening. So trying to think again about like when should we host content, having slightly shorter days, our sessions as well. So really tightening up, especially like our Clio related sessions. And then also, you know, having some really fantastic dense, rich presentations from industry speakers, followed by, you know, moderated discussions to kind of dig in with them more on the subject matter.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by our good friends at Ruby, and returning to the podcast, our friends at Spotlight Branding. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time, because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And for those of you who have listened for some time, you might recognize that returning to the sponsor position here with our podcast is Spotlight Branding. And Spotlight Branding, as you may remember, I was a client of theirs for many months, if not years, before they became a sponsor of the show. So I speak from experience that if you're looking to build content for your practice and have that managed for you in terms of blog posting, social media posting, email dissemination, email newsletter dissemination, that you can do no worse than Spotlight Branding. They're a terrific resource to draw upon, and I wholeheartedly support them, and I'm grateful for their sponsorship of this podcast. One of the things that I really, really enjoyed last year was the keynote speakers. Mm. And, you know, again, I go to a lot of conferences. I can't always say that's true for every conference. It's not true for, you know, a conference from year to year, obviously. But I really enjoyed the speakers last year. And you've got a couple of phenomenal keynote speakers lined up for this coming conference. To me, frankly, you know, if you buy an early ticket for the conference, that price is worth the admission to if all you did was listen to these two individuals.
I completely agree.
Three if you count Jack, you know. So
yeah.
So talk to us about the keynote speakers.
Absolutely. Okay. So I love finding the keynote speakers for the event. And this is actually one thing that I personally do. It is a lot of fun. And we are so proud and so thrilled. So the first speaker we introduced this year is Seth Godin. And Seth Godin has written numerous New York Times bestsellers. He is considered one of the foremost marketers in the world. His absolute perspective on marketing is, I just think, is going to be something that, you know, creates a bit of fire in people to go out and really think about how they're branding the firm, how they're engaging in a digital world. And of course, like, even more relevant than ever before is really, what is your digital presence? What is your marketing effort? Because, you know, keeping a really healthy business alive obviously starts with having people being able to find your services, and of course, being able to effectively market them to capture their interest and get them to pick up the phone or send you an email or fill in the intake form that you have on your website. So Seth Godin is known as the ultimate entrepreneur for the information age. He has helped millions of people run more successful businesses. And at the event, we're looking forward to him sharing how people can reimagine their practice in 2020. He's going to speak about the issues that face the legal professional specifically when managing, growing their firms, you know, what future of marketing is going to look like, and provide advice on how we can adapt to succeed in this world. And again, Seth is an icon of marketing. So I can't stress enough, just would highly recommend people check out his personal blog. It is regularly cited as being one of the most important places to look for what is happening in marketing. And for lawyers, you know, especially, you know, I think the people that listen to this podcast, like, they recognize the business aspect of what they do and the importance of that, and how challenging it can feel to kind of like crack that nut, you know, how challenging it can feel to kind of like wrap your arms around where to start, what to do. And someone like Seth is going to be able to give some level of clarity to people to inspire them to take some next steps. And the certainty to know that you're doing it with the best information, with the, you know, from the best in the world. And I'm so pumped for Seth. Seth is someone that we actually have had lined up for a long time and couldn't be more excited to have him on board.
I was lucky enough to meet him and to get a copy of his book, This is Marketing. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of authors that are great authors, but not always great presenters. And that's not the case with Seth. He is as entertaining, as engaging, as insightful as you can imagine. And I think literally he's worth the price of admission. So that's it's really, I think, a real important factor for considering attending the conference. Tell us about your other keynote.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got Angela Duckworth. And Angela is someone who I followed for years. If anyone listens to, you know, the Freakonomics podcast, she's regularly featured there, as well as being a guest on so many other different influential places. But what Angela is best known for is writing the New York Times bestseller, Grit, mm-hmm. The Power and Passion of Perseverance. And so what Angela has done is she has worked in her research to understand why some people work so much harder and longer than others, and the role that grit has on success. You know, she really, you know, spoke to people who've excelled in a variety of industries, from athletics right through to business, and tried to hone in on what that attribute is that sets them apart, what that component, that magical piece that makes them push that extra bit harder to win Olympic gold, or, you know, to run a incredibly successful company starting from nothing and growing it into a massive success. And so her life's work on understanding that success metric and the insights from across multiple fields. You know, she herself has a background in psychology and neuroscience. And she's going to help share with us, like, how to persevere, how to overcome obstacles, how to unlock our own peak performance. And again, thinking about all of the transformation, all of the obstacles and challenges that we've all been dealing with, in over the last number of months. How can we best, you know, unlock what our next level is when we are under these conditions? And Angela is going to be able to respond. And I'm, again, very excited for her. She is, her book, Grit, if for anyone out there who has not read it, it's just a fantastic read. It's so fascinating. So I can't wait to see what she brings. And again, I have seen her speak previously, and she is warm and authentic, but also just incredibly knowledgeable. And I think one of those people that we all stand to learn a lot from. And I, again, couldn't be more excited to have her on board.
Well, if you want to get a little taste of that, go look up her TED Talk. That'll yes. give you an idea of you know, her passion. And it's interesting that when I first saw, after you announced the keynote speakers, and I was thinking about, you know, how I view that and how my audience might view it, and I was wondering whether or not you did this consciously or just kind of occurred that this way. But when you ask attorneys, what are the key things to success? I'll bet you the vast majority, I don't know what percentage you're going to say, well, you got to be a good marketer and you have to have passion and perseverance mm-hmm. or grit. Mm-hmm. Well, those are your two speakers.
Well, I'm so glad you say that. Like, I just think that for anyone who's practicing law, like, there is, you know, you come out of law school and have to really situate yourself, find that opportunity. A lot of it, you know, it takes savvy, it takes hustle, it takes learning, it takes iteration. And like you said, like, marketing and really understanding how to communicate your value. Marketing is communication. That I think is just sort of the business term for communication, essentially. And how are you exploring and educating the people that want and need your services, like how to access them, what you deliver? You know, I think I've seen a lot of attorney websites, and there are some out there that are just incredible. And then others that I think maybe have been built maybe a couple decades previously. Yeah. And is your website built for your customer or is it built for you? You know, I think that there's all those pieces that come into I think really our inspiration came for these keynotes, you know, a lot out of Jack Newton's, who are our other keynote speaker we've announced at this point, out of his book, you know, The Client-Centered Law Firm, really thinking about what that takes and any sort of change, any sort of ability to really be responsive and agile takes grit and perseverance, takes self-reflection. And of course, in the client-centered law firm, you know, you need to be able to market and discuss and talk about your services in a way that is resonant with the people that are actually seeking them. And there is a huge latent market for legal services out there that can be tapped into. And the people that get that, the people that are thinking about these things are the law firms I'm seeing and talking to regularly that are thriving and really finding a clear place for themselves and, you know, connecting with the people that really need their services. And, you know, lawyers have a special role in society. You know, they are advocates of justice. They are people who we turn to in our often, usually our hardest moments for guidance and advice. And being able to, you know, really give people that peace of mind in that moment that they are in the right hands, I think is essential. And how are we telling that story? And how are we approaching that challenge as legal professionals when, you know, again, that's not part of law school.
Yeah. Well, you anticipated my question here because I was going to suggest that this all kind of culminates and kind of funnels into Jack's work as not just the leader of the company, but you know the author of the book Client-Centered Law Firm, and how it distilled what you all have learned through your annual survey of law firms. It's really a remarkable piece of work. And so I think together all of that is going to create, along with all the other wonderful speakers that, you know, not to, you know, smooch too much over this, but there's some great speakers there that you've mentioned before, you know, folks like Aaron Levine and Mike Whelan is another one who I know of. So I won't mention all of them, but I apologize for those that I've left off. Let me just kind of pivot here then to a couple of quick questions as we wrap up. We have a lot of folks here on the podcast who aren't Clio users.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason for them to attend the conference? I think we've already answered that question in part. And B, you know, is it just going to be a sales pitch?
Yeah. So, great question. And I think the fact that it's called the Clio Cloud Conference, it can sometimes do us a disservice because this event is really architected to be an industry event. However, what we do is we have very much dedicated industry content, keynote speakers who again speak to the industry and speak to, you know, transformation. And then we do offer specific sessions on Clio's product, you know, updates, improvements, workshops on utilizing and best leveraging Clio. But those are very much separate and distinct. And actually, organizing this event, you know, I have managed this agenda and onboarded a number of incredible speakers over the years. And the number one thing I say is there are no sales pitches from the stage. You know, this is not that kind of event. This is an event about thought leadership. This is an event about sharing insights. And I'm not an attorney, but I don't like being sold to from the stage. It is a negative experience. It sort of diminishes what people have to share.
You feel exploited.
Exactly. So actually, like, when you're seeing the industry content come up, when you're seeing, you know, Mike Whalen's a really good example that you gave, you know, he's coming on to speak about the insight and guidance and leadership that he has specific from his own experiences. And that is useful and important for all people from the legal industry, not just our customers. And what I like to think is that people who use Clio, people who use legal technology, you know, they are the people that are more forward thinking. They're thinking about, you know, how are they, you know, practicing in a modern age? And maybe that sets them apart, but really, like, there is a very distinct line between those two and plenty on offer for people. You know, 50% of the agenda has nothing to do about Clio and is purely about how to better practice law, how to better collaborate, what leadership is, mental health and wellness, law firm insights, decision making, all of that stuff, hiring and mentorship, all of that stuff has nothing to do with our software, but is again inspired by our own personal mission. And because, you know, that's what people want to know about. People want to know about all of those other challenges that come part and parcel with running a law firm. Of course, if somebody is listening and you do use Clio, there's a ton of additional stuff there, you know, around.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was going to, you know, follow that. On the other hand, one of the most interesting parts of the experience last year for me was, for lack of a better term, the Clio University. Mm. You go and learn more about the product. And I had just become a Clio user just literally a couple of weeks before the event last year. And so it was almost like an onboarding experience to go through all of that. Will you be able to do something similar in virtual world?
Yeah, we've sort of renamed it to Innovation at Clio. Innovation at Clio are going to be short, compact sessions that really just focus on new updates, new features, new products, new things that we're announcing, or improvements. And then we have Clio workshops, and that's where we are just taking a slightly slower step back and more about being successful with our product. And so, yes, I actually think that for people to get the most out of, you know, if they've signed up and brought Clio on board recently, that you're right, it is a fantastic way to kind of come up to speed really quickly. You can invite, and we see many firms do this where they have, you know, their whole staff participate in the event because using Clio, everybody might use it slightly differently across the law firm, depending on what their roles and responsibilities are. So, you know, being able to know how to measure and get, you know, key performance indicators and make data-driven decisions from the Clio data that you have, you know, managing partner might find that session more interesting versus, getting started and using our calendaring and matter management and contact management within our platform. That may be more relevant for the office administrator or a paralegal that's working at the law firm. So still trying to create that content for sure.
Oh, fantastic. And last but not least, you know, and this probably speaks more to who I am, but I had a ton of fun at the after hours events. And, you know, sometimes those kinds of things can be kind of mundane and perfunctory, but I got to tell you, I had way too much fun at the after hours events. So I'm going to kind of miss that in a way, being that it's virtual. Do you have some surprises in mind as to how you might be able to fill that void?
We do have some surprises in mind, and you are right. I do feel very strongly that I can throw one hell of a party.
Yeah.
And I think you really got to enjoy some of my best work last year. But this year, you know, it's going to be, we're looking at it as Clio After Hours, because obviously, depending on where you are, will be whatever hour it is. So join in when you can.
Clio around the clock hours, really.
Exactly. And we're going to be inviting entertainers and people like that to come, and it'll be more of a show than perhaps a traditional party. But we're hopeful that it will be a fun event, something that people can use to kind of tap off the end of the day and, enjoy a beverage of whatever kind they prefer. If you enjoy kombucha or a beer or a glass of Chardonnay or, you know, a fine espresso, whatever it is, bring that with you. And we're planning on doing, having some entertainment each day of the event.
One, it's a good thing then I reserved the high definition big screen.
Oh, exactly.
Maybe yes. With surround sound for the whole 10 days or so. Lauren, it's been terrific having you share this with our audience. Tell them how they might go about getting some more information about the conference.
Absolutely. So we have a website, which of course, ClioCloudConference.com. And, you know, for our 4-day event, you can buy your tickets now. You know, we're only going to be making more amazing announcements as the next month goes on. So again, stay tuned. Updates will be seen on that website. And if you have any questions, if you want to reach out, you can always email us at conference@clio.com. Or you're welcome to tweet at me as well. I am on Twitter @Xenophiler. That's Xenophiler with an X. So XENOPHIER. Kleer, and happy to respond to any sort of inquiries that come our way. But I'm just so excited. You know, people are going to be able to earn CLE credit. They're going to be able to have a bunch of fun. They're going to be able to explore new topics that might be new or innovative for them and their law firms. And I feel really confident that that combination is going to set people up for success. And, you know, we're all trying to navigate, you know, what comes next. And this whole event is going to be architected around really helping everyone wrap their arms around where we're at and where we're going. And I couldn't be more excited to be bringing this to the virtual stage.
Well, I'm excited to be a part of it and to partake in it and to totally immerse myself in the experience. So, Lauren, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Of course.
And, you know, thank you for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you very much for having me, Neil. Have a wonderful day.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.